Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/blackgirlslaughing. Over 180,000 titles to choose from on your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
What up?
Oh!
I never do that. So.
How you doing?
How you living? How you feeling?
That's us to you and back at us. We're doing good. Well, I'm doing good.
I'm doing okay. Yeah, doing okay. We're Black Girls Laughing.
Black Girls Laughing. I don't know. I'm just like in a weird place, guys. I'm in a weird place.
Yeah.
Swift playgrounds. Anyway.
Bree's got a lot going on, so.
Like, this is a surprise. I mean, we said we're going to be gone for 2 weeks, and now we're just, like, kind of back because I'm going to have to leave again. And, like, December is just, like, a whirlwind for me. I'm going up and down into the air over and over and over again. I just went to Lubbock, Texas, and saw my grandparents, and that was fun. It was nice to see them. I haven't seen my grandmother face to face in years, so it was so great to see her. But I have a pro tip for you guys. Don't go to the Buddy Holly Museum right before catching a plane.
I'm confused. Why?
Buddy Holly, he's like the white founder of rock and roll.
Yeah.
And he died in an airplane crash with Ricky Valley and
yeah,
the Big Bopper.
Not a good time.
So it's like La Bamba and Buddy Holly, you know, all his songs I always forget about as soon as I say his name. I only think of the Weezer song.
just like Buddy Holly. Ooh. And Mary Tyler Moore.
I don't care what they say about us
anyway.
I don't care about that. But yeah, he has actual songs that were like a big deal. There was a lot of, we watched a video that, like, a lot of the people like the Rolling Stones, you know, folks I care about, and we're talking about how they were influenced.
Yeah, by Buddy Holly.
And so, yeah. So you get on a plane, and then the first plane ride over, fine. The second plane, we're coming from Lubbock, so you gotta go to Dallas to actually go to a big city. And so we were on the flight from Dallas to Houston, to where do we live? Philadelphia. Philadelphia had some like crazy turbulence towards the end where we're just like going up and down. I was like, no,
we're gonna die.
And I'm like, I got these little keychains and I was like looking at the keychains, I was like, why did I get these? That these keychains were like Buddy Holly glasses. I'm just like looking at like, this is like the mark.
It ends now.
I'm so nervous. Like, it was so bad that the flight attendant was like, woo, we made it. At the end, everyone give a round of applause to the captain.
Oh my gosh.
You're on a tough flight when that happens.
No, that's so stressful. No, thank you.
It's like, but okay, it was okay. We were on the ground. Like, you could go, woo, yeah, when we're on the ground. High fives, hand claps.
Cheers, hoorah. Yeah, no. Well, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. And I go to Houston tomorrow, come back, and then I take another trip right after that. So it's just like, wow.
Never ending.
Yeah.
Living the
December is my up in the air month.
What a time to be alive.
How you doing?
I'm okay. Had a quiet day, which was nice. Just kind of keeping my nose to the ground, pounding the pavement, figuring stuff out, writing a lot,
mm-hmm.
which is great.
That's great.
focusing a lot on mental health. A lot. Like, a lot, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Christmas party season, so shout out to all of us with anxiety that hate having to be social and or large groups of people as you're bombarded with large groups of people these next few weeks. Solidarity. So I've just been in my own world and not following the news, but something did pop up and I looked at it because of who is a part of it. And he did a Facebook Live sit down talk. I'm talking about Will Smith and his conversation that he had about the most recent film he finished called Collateral Beauty. Where his character is coping and dealing with the death of his daughter. And while he was filming it, he found out that his father was diagnosed with cancer. And he talked a lot about how he was using his real life experience as a way to play this character in a film. But also playing this character allowed him to cope with his real life experience. And if that doesn't say something awesome about the power of film and acting and what art can do, I don't know what else will. And that's, I mean, no one dreams of an opportunity where something tragic is happening in your life that can influence your art, but God, like, having that outlet to cope with something like that, and having it to the magnitude of it being a freaking Will Smith film is awesome. So you should go back and watch the Facebook Live he did with Entertainment Tonight. I don't normally follow things like that, but it really stuck out to me as a theater and an artist having had the experience of being able to use a time on stage as a way to cope with something. And obviously, I mean, go see the film. I'll see it because it's Will Smith. Even if I don't absolutely love it, it has Will Smith in it. So I'll probably go see it, minus Suicide Squad. But yeah, that was my sad thing, but also great. It was just like really awesome. I love when you get to see the power of art and use it to cope. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
All right. No, I mean, artists, that's like the thing that I've been thinking about a lot. Because I'm about to go through a bunch of crazy things in the next week. And I've been thinking about like how I want to use that in my art. And that's been sort of like my coping mechanism of how to get through it. And so I'm like,
sorry, that was my I opened my mouth and my throat made a sound, guys. Sorry.
Sometimes your bodies betray you. So like I've been looking into, I think I'm gonna like make a bunch of little videos of doing like little vlogs about like what's going on, to be sort of beginning source material for something in the future. I don't know, it's becoming a nice way to distract myself from some of that reality and to put like another layer in between me and what's happening, or in a way, but in a way to let me process it, to truly process it in a way that's productive, because I can process things in a way of like self-pity and tears and loneliness that isn't productive, can't change what's going to happen or not happen, and I might as well face the bear, but on my terms.
So many bears.
Yeah.
Well, that's funny that you say that, because I've been thinking about doing vlogging too, since I'll have so much time on my hands.
Yeah. No, I will, huge shout out to Shameless Maya. I've been watching all of her videos about vlogging, where she teaches you about like how you can use your iPhone and like the simple things you can do to like make a backdrop and a setup for doing that type of work. And so I was like, oh great, I already have a... You have a good camera now, so you should totally do it.
I know, that's why I was thinking about it.
She teaches you all the different things. And like I've been consuming this stuff for a while, so like I have stuff that you can do right on your phone. Of course, you have a phone, an iPhone, or an iPad. You have iMovie, which makes it really easy for cutting any type of video that you want to do. When you make like a simple little backdrop and have some good lighting, and you know, sunlight's awesome. Like if you just do that stuff in the day, you've got yourself a simple setup. And like the only thing that I think is crucial if you're doing something like this, doing a vlog, is good sound. Which you can get like a simple lav microphone for super cheap on Amazon. Or if you already are podcasting, you use the same microphone that you already use. Or you can do voiceover later on if you're trying to do like a teaching thing. You can just use the voice recorder on your phone. Again, you have good equipment already. You just have to learn how to do it. And like Seamus Maya is showing you how to do it. I'm just like, okay. I went in like a huge rabbit hole this weekend of like all these different things that I could possibly do with, and then like having a tripod. If a tripod, so you don't have to hold whatever your camera is, you can be vlogging all day.
That's the only thing I don't have. Well, besides a
good
mic.
Yeah, I got
on my own.
I offline, I can give you some things.
Cool.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about that a lot because I've been working on building this community around being freaking lost. Because so many people are. And I feel like a lot of people aren't talking about it. So.
I mean, yes. We're going to talk about that because that's like sort of what I want to talk about, is sort of like when you're in the face of big decisions and like how to sit down and swat it or pro and con it, like the different methods that you can use to help you make that final decision. That's been a big theme in my life right now. But still, we're in the John. Let's keep it light, a little bit on the lighter side. Did you listen to Childish Gambino's album?
No. Sorry.
Girlfriend.
Sorry.
We'll play it after because we're hanging out. So yeah. We'll get ready.
I'm still in the K-hole. Like, you got to get me out.
You got to get out of the
K-hole. The only time I broke it was for Tribe Called Quest.
Most Childish recently. Gambino's new album is fire. If you are like really into like funky music, he is channeling Bootsy, Prince, George Clinton in a beautiful, beautiful way. And if you were watching his show, if you're watching Atlanta, and then you're like, oh yeah, you're an amazing musician. Again, we've been talking about Donald Glover and how he's America's favorite guy right now.
Black or white, no, or like, anything
just, like,
else.
The guy that you like wish that you knew him, that you do him, that that he is your son-in-law, like
your homie, your whatever. Homie,
your lover, your friend. You want him to be all of those things. I love him. For that album, if you haven't listened, if you get on it. And then J. Cole's album came out.
I heard about that.
And I listened to a couple of tracks off of it, and it's fire. And it's just him, and it's J. Cole, so it's super black. I know, but he's messed up in the past, so I'm like, I need to listen to it before I can be like, yes. I vouch for this 100%. Yeah. Go rock on this. But the first couple of tracks were super powerful. And then the Hamilton mixtape. You never gave Hamilton a try, a shot.
Yeah, I did. I listened to the whole soundtrack. I went to Leslie Odom's behind the scenes thing at the Kimmel, and I watched the thing on PBS. You watched the
documentary.
It's still like it's heartbreaking. That's why I'm not gonna be into it.
No. Well. It's
okay. But I did listen to that Jill Scott shit because
the Jill Scott shit. The Kelly Clarkson one.
That girl can sing.
I mean, yes. Yes. She's like, I was in Lubbock, so I was watching the Today Show, and she was on the Today Show, and she's, like, getting in that sort of, like, Barbra Streisand territory of, like, this chick can do whatever she wants.
Untouchable.
Yeah, because she's just sort of, like, I have a beautiful voice, and, like, she's just real. She's, like, 100% real. She's, like, she is a heavier figure right now, and she doesn't give a damn, and she's freaking real about how hard it was to wear those high heels while she was on the show. And she's just like, yes, I'm a mommy and I do great music, but like I'm all these things. And she's getting like super, I can't wait for her next album, because she's been like living in this like rock pop world. That's what she's always been doing, and like, and she's been awesome, you know. Since you've been gone, is the jam. How can you not get turned if that comes on?
I can't be for the first time.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But she is going to, she was talking about her new album, and it's going to be like more like in Vogue and all, and Janet Jackson and all these people. Yes, and Whitney Houston, and like more channeling those influences.
No, you're never
like,
gonna get it.
Not this time. No,
I was just gonna be your background music while you talk.
She's gonna do this. No, so she's in a spot where she can take a leap and take a chance. I'm excited for her to be like free.
Pop. Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah, so I was like, ooh, Kelly Clarkson, 2017, can't wait for your album. Like,
sign me up for that.
Maybe I'll be going to your concert.
I'll go behind these hazel eyes.
I mean, yes. Oh my gosh. My favorite one is, you know you did it, I'm gone.
Oh yeah.
This is her voice. This is so great.
What is my, I don't, a lot are my favorites.
That, just the whole
Miss Independent.
Oh, yes.
Miss Insufficient. Miss Keep Your Distance.
She's just great. She's just fun, and she's real.
Miss Unafraid.
And the fact that her music is she's just everything. She's just a good job. Good job. Our first American Idol, our only American Idol.
Yeah. Yes. What is the feeling taking over?
The Grammy nominations came out.
I see it and I want it. Woo! I stunt all upon it. Oh. I dream it. I work hard. I grind till I own it.
So Beyonce is like now has the most nominations of any female artist ever.
Ever.
She's about to like, if she wins a bunch of the majority of her nine nominations. Nine nominations, she will be also have won the most. So
Slay.
She already has like 21
Slay.
Or something.
Slay.
And she needs like 26, and she has 9 nominations. So
Slay ho.
I'm really excited to see what happens with that. And then of course Solange is there. She has multiple nominations as well. And
I just want both of them to like walk away with just arms full.
But then, like, also, you also have Rihanna had 8 nominations.
I want all of Drake them to got win 8 everything.
Nominations. Kanye got 8 nominations. I have a serious question about the world. Was Bieber that good? Because Bieber is also nominated for Album of the Year.
Listen, that shit was good.
Okay.
I normally am so against Bieber, but
okay,
like the second I hear ooh,
I mean, I've loved all of the songs.
Is it too late now to say sorry?
Like, yes, it's a good song, and so I'm just like just trying to make sure. I'm just making sure because like I'm so hard on the Solange, Beyonce, Tip, Rihanna,
obviously.
Drake, like Views is nominated, like all of that. So I'm like, when I'm seeing White Boy in the cut, I'm like, I'm a little nervous.
Purpose was like, I like over 75% of that album.
Okay, okay, all right, all right. Okay.
And I don't like you'll never catch me saying I like Justin Bieber. I don't like Justin Bieber as a human being.
No, he's terrible.
He's straight up trash, garbage, dumpster. But that album was good.
Yeah, okay. And everyone, going back to my husband, Donald Glover. My second husband, Donald Glover. in that sister-wise type of way, too. Not that my... Nah. The Nobody Beats the Biebs episode of Atlanta is amazing with the black Justin Bieber. It is fire. It's the same person, but we've made him black. It's just because it goes to all the questions of what if Justin Bieber were black, would he be the same? And what is this proximity to blackness and his obvious whiteness.
Yeah.
How does that play into his success?
Very clearly, you know, white.
Like, vouched for by Usher, supported by lots of the black community in terms of black artists that are making money off of his success. And like, what does that mean? And then, like, when you just suppose that with Satan herself, I'm not even going to say her name. You know who Satan is. And how she's worth she made $127 billion in a year. Million dollars, not billion.
I was supposed to be like, what?
You know, that doesn't make any sense. Like, that's like a country. But $127 million in a year. And she's like, she didn't even have a new album this year. So it's like, what?
How?
Wow, she's got like a television station or like a downloading thing. Like, she's got like a downloaded streaming station.
What?
That was something that came out. Taylor Swift.
I knew who you were talking about.
I know, but I was just saying it for everyone else in case they are not at our, like, you know, they're not into the vernacular of knowing who Satan is. Because Satan's a lot of people. Well, the Grim Reaper is Steve Bannon. You're right. No, she's Satan. She's getting a new station, like her own streaming service. It's like T Swifty station.
That makes me want to shoot my own foot off.
What content does she have? Like, who is making this content? And like, is it just going to be like a Jenny cam? Like, what is it going to be? Like, just follow her ass around. But
ew.
But again, video is king. What? If you're in the content making world, if you're not making video, you're not. You're messing it up. But anyways, that's where we're gonna launch vlogs in the new year. Because video is king.
Video is king. I'm king.
So what are we? What else is going on in the world?
What was this news that you wanted to tell me about that I haven't been watching? That.
Oh, the world is over. America's over, not the world. I'm so shocked you didn't hear about how it's been confirmed that Russia did do it in terms of the election.
Russia did what? What?
They influenced the election. Like, all the stuff that came out that went to WikiLeaks, Russian spies were the ones that did that. In the hopes of making a president-elect Trump.
How?
Cyber terrorism. Cyber warfare.
Can we take it back then?
No. I wish. I mean, there are CIA, ex-CIA operatives that are like, we need a revote. They're literally saying that. And apparently, we knew about it. I mean, the federal government knew about it in September. There was a CIA. The CIA brought a bipartisan leadership together into like a private debriefing explaining, hey, Russia did this. I think we need to come together as a bipartisan, like, front saying, hey, this is still America. Russia, you can't decide who we pick as our leader. And the Democratic leaders were like, yes, let's do this. We're on board, bipartisan, let's work on this together. And there was a split with the Republicans, with, you know, the old frog toad thing of Mitch McConnell saying no.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yes. And so that's going down. And then, so remember how we were all thinking, remember when Satan took out Mitt Romney? The other Satan took Mitt Romney out and out to dinner.
The
and
cheetah.
He told him, he was saying, hey, say what's your name? Your name is Reek. Good old Mitt Romney was up for being like Secretary of State. And that was our big news cycle of like, whoa, is he going to bring this like Council of Rivals, sort of like an Abraham Lincoln type move? Oh, hell no. That's not happening. Because today, Trump announced that Rex something, I don't know his last name right now.
You lost me at Rex.
Yeah, who is Rex, right? Well,
Rex Tillerson?
Is the CEO of ExxonMobil. Is been put up as the... Yeah, no. Do I live in a sci-fi? I do. We do. We live in a fucking sci-fi. Like, this is like cartoon evil shit. And do you know that this Rex, the CEO of Exxon, who might be our new Secretary of State, got like the Russian Friendship Award from Vladimir Putin? Like, the highest award that a non-Russian can get in Russia. He's going to be our Secretary of State, maybe. So we have like a lot of dumpster fires to fight if we want to not have the world end in the next 4 years. Because he also put in all these other people. Like, again, it's moving. Like, remember last time we were chatting, America, friends of the Black Girls and the Laughing Nation, we talked about some of his terrible picks. It's gotten worse. And apparently, one of the people that was so against us talking about Russia's involvement in our election, his wife got nominated to be a part of the cabinet.
Of course.
Okay, so there's a lot. And so someone that has active investigation, active lawsuits against the EPA isn't been nominated to be head of the EPA.
Good.
The Mr. I'm not fit enough to be in, have a cabinet position.
But I was fit enough to be the fucking president.
Yep, but is now been nominated to be the head of HUD.
Yeah, because he's black.
Yeah, he's like, oh, but, you know, but it's like all of these picks are against the actual agencies that they are going to be head of.
No shit. What does he know about housing or urban development or...
He lived in one. I think that's a product of his store.
He lived in a house one time?
He does live in a house. Yeah.
He lived in a house one time, guys.
Yeah. He has a house. The Russia Secretary of State stuff is the stuff that is very scary. And then our president-elect has a new slogan because he's been going around like stumping around the nation, you know, to all the places that voted him in. He's been having like this victory tour.
You know, he's gone to Harrisburg soon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you want to like be a thorny, like a thorn in the side of it, register to attend, because you have to register to go and don't go. So he can have an empty room to speak to.
I mean, he already banned the March on Washington.
So,
well, you know, he didn't ban the wall. I listened to the news about
tried
that
to
too. So there's a bunch of marches, a lot of protests that are going to be happening on our inauguration day. It has been done in order to get that space to do a march in capital in the cap on our nation's capital is you have to talk to the the public parks for the federal parks agency. They preemptively a year in advance every time right before inauguration they get all of the permits for that date to make it to give them the to give the president that will be coming in the space to be inaugurated. But that's something that's been done for a while for everyone. They do it a year in advance, not knowing who's going to win. So it's a nonpartisan decision to do that.
Well, they need to give him back.
Well, I mean, I think those are... I don't know what's going to happen with that, but...
Looking at the, like, who it is and where he's going and what the world is, I even, like, as someone, if I own a business, like, there's no room for me to not... to be nonpartisan. Like, there's no room when I'm looking at other businesses. There's no room for you to be that way anymore. There's no longer. You can no yes. longer be that way.
I think private citizens... there's definitely no space for you to be nonpartisan. We're in this weird place where there's always been America is set on an idea of some type of civility, and we've like left that civility completely, and like that just is out the window, you know. What did he tweet today when we found out about this the CIA and them knowing about Russia?
Didn't he say something about Iraq or something?
Yes, shit? he deflected it by saying, well, by doing a number of lies. First lie, he won by a landslide, the largest landslide in history. No, that he like in something about the pop, like that he won the popular vote, and something that's like again not true.
Everyone
that he won the most votes like ever, like no, that's not true. And then he did say something that was true, that the CIA said that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, and they did not. And that is the architecture of a lie. You put two false things and a true thing to discredit something. Truth and lies go hand in hand. If you want to start a good rumor, you put a truth next to it. It's like if you've seen someone's penis and everyone knows you've seen their penis and you've decided that you will lie and say someone has a large penis and they don't, or a small penis and they don't, but it is a known fact that you've seen a penis, that you've seen said penis. That's how a lie begins. It's the proximity of the truth that makes it potent. And Donald Trump being Satan, and if you've read your Bible, he's the father of the lie.
Yeah.
So... that's why I call him Satan.
Yeah. My eyes just started twitching.
I'm sorry.
Even harder.
I'm sorry. But like, yes.
Can we get chicken?
We can totally get chicken. I am so down for chicken. Like Popeyes? You want to just go get Popeyes? Do you want to order chicken?
Chinese
chicken? Chinese chicken wings are my... on my anti-drug.
I know.
So, yeah.
Yeah, my eye is like going bananas right now. So I have no response for you guys because my eye's twitching and that's all you need to know. That's response enough.
But yeah, but like it's going down for real.
Yeah,
and it's not fun.
It's going down for real.
And because this stuff is so new and fresh, I don't have, besides what I was, what we've been saying from day one, is to call your elected representatives and hopefully they represent you and say that you are disgusted of these nominations so that they can put up a fight. But it is a point. He's lit in so many fires that what I'm so nervous about is that people are going to make the stupid choice of thinking that they have to pick which fire to fight.
Ugh.
And so whose house will be saved? And so now we have to pick winners and losers of our of the most vulnerable parts of our society.
Jesus Christ.
I was meeting a lot of different people that have lots of different opinions about different folks, and you know, people that want legalized marijuana will be fighting against Jeff Sessions. People that want a clean EP, that recognize climate change and what it is. You know, he's asking for the credentials of everyone inside that works for the EPA. And if you're on the wrong side of science for him, he will be letting you go.
Facts.
We are living in the beginning of, like, it's going to turn into Mad Max. That's the only ending. And he is that nasty thing that is, like, has to have, like, a tank on him. an oxygen tank on him that gives
Evil
the
Joe
water.
Or...
Immortal Joe.
Immortal Joe.
Yeah.
Immortan. It's not a real word.
Immortan.
So...
But close to immortal.
Yeah. There's only one thing it could mean.
Adjacent to
and
immortal.
And they're called... What are those things called? Death Boys or...
Yep. Yes. I mean, if they are not what a neo... What a neo-Nazi is, I don't know. I don't
like... Yeah.
The alt-right much.
War Boys.
War boys.
That's even better.
Death boys. There's I mean, they fucking die.
And
so,
well, a funny thing on a petty note.
But the thing is, I don't believe that a white woman's about to save us.
No, a white woman's not gonna. No, oh no, it's no one. No one's getting saved. It's going. I don't see it turning around. I see the beginning of something. Of the changing of our understanding of how the world works. It's already been changing. I went to this like meeting of like Philly leaders and I made a joke, but was also very serious talking about 11/9 in the same way of, as you might say, 9/11 and like my world shift on 11/9. And now I think about, now I see the world in a different way.
Yeah.
And so what happens next? We don't know. And we're in the same, I mean, I feel like the same, like when I was a 14-year-old girl who slept right after school every day and woke up at midnight to watch the news because that's when the latest information of what was going on post 9/11 was coming out, because every station was showing the news for like the first, like remember when like they were like, nope, we don't have MTV right now, every station CNN.
Yeah.
Yeah, like remember that? Like I feel like that should be happening right now. But what we've gotten so fractured and distracted via the good and the bad of, like, I mean, the bad of the internet in many ways is like we're distracted. We have too many ways of being distracted.
Yeah. But it's also nice.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's great. I enjoy being distracted. I mean, I watched Crazy Ex-Girlfriend today, and I was very happy
yes.
to do that. We do have one more episode to watch. Yeah, so that was, like, the That was like the terribleness that was
the news.
The last 48 hours of the news.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I really like have not been paying attention. I knew like some of the new appointed people, but I didn't know anything about Russia.
Yeah. And we've been thinking about that in theory. It's been an idea. It's been something that you see that, you know, and there's been this talk about like fake news and what does fake news do? And like that's been the news too. There's been a lot about talking about like fake news and its part in people's hysteria. And I learned way too much about Pizzagate this week and, you know, how fake news can get people to violence. And then how it also makes people question journalism in general. And so there's a lot of people that, again, they listen to the father of the lie. I mean, how many people have been talking about, remember how Trump's Twitter feed was like trending earlier this week too? Like, because there's people that were probably saying that they get their news from Trump's Twitter.
It's also just a shit show.
But he retweets 16-year-old boys.
News worthy. Factual. Hashtag facts. Well, hashtag.
That's my source.
I'm the rightest.
Forget about Anderson Cooper. But like, go get your news. And again, I think we've talked about, I've talked about this and I've said to everyone, pick your news sources. Pick them wisely. Decide who you're going to who you're going to listen to, and go and vet the stuff on your own as well. Like, I'm telling you this now.
I can't even find his Twitter anymore.
Did you block him? Like,
I might have.
Or did they decide to just like shut it down? Like, I don't know. I doubt that happened. I would have got like a news alert.
I really cannot find him.
You're doing at real Donald Trump? Oh, gosh. I'm sorry to tell you guys that if you didn't know it already.
Yeah, I don't. I only Donald Trump Jr. is showing up.
Yeah, you must have blocked him.
Oh, yeah, I blocked him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I blocked his ass.
That's funny.
Hashtag block.
And then... Well, there's one more thing I was thinking about. Nah, whatever. It must not be that important.
No wonder why I don't know half the shit that's going on. I blocked him on Twitter.
Yeah. He's just cray.
I think I'm going to leave him blocked. Yeah. He doesn't need me to read his trash.
Last thing for the junk. Van Jones has a show on CNN that was very interesting, and I've been listening. Like, Van Jones, there's so much I can talk about, because have you been seeing the trash about Noah, Trevor Noah, and when he brought on Tommy and
all
that nonsense, and then Charlamagne the God getting in on it too.
I didn't see anything about Charlamagne.
Charlamagne was saying that black women need to get platforms like this white bitch Tommy. And that she is, caping for her because she has this platform and she's using it well for herself.
I mean, black women do need...
But we have platforms.
I know, but they need to be the virality.
High on my platform right now.
Is that a word? Virality?
Well, I mean...
Of Tomi, but that's not going to happen because they don't spew hate. Yeah, so... They're just going to
saying that it's a political view. And then having people like, did you read Trevor Noah's piece in the New York Times?
No.
His op-ed? Don't waste your time. He doesn't get it. And it's like, and I recognize that he was never going to get it because he's not from here. You're not from here. You don't go here. So you don't get it. You can't speak for black people in America because you're not. And like, and that's okay, and that's what brings an interesting spin, but you need to recognize when you need to let other people speak. You are not the ambassador, and he's He is using this. He's using Tomi. I think he's using Tomi more than Tomi's getting play for this. Because he brought her on his show and had this conversation. And he is got a lot of flack. And he's able to use that. He's playing into Donald Trump's book. Using the flack to rise his star.
Yep.
So, there you go. It's just... But Dan Jones has a show called The Messy Truth, where he brings on real Americans to talk about some of what Trump wants to do. And he had some real people that live in the Rust Belt talking about why they voted for Donald Trump. And, like, had some interesting conversations. Then he had the shit stain that is Rick Santorum on. And apparently he's a part of the Trump administration. I did not hear about him getting appointed. But he was there to speak on behalf of Trump and what
this is going to do. Please don't let him do anything that has to do with Puerto Rico. Just leave those people alone.
And he just was saying terrible things. And, like, literally had this, was, like, telling a dreamer who is, like, really afraid that her status and all the work that she's put into her education, into her life in the United States, will be taken away from her in the next administration. He told her that she should go do it the right way.
What? What?
Yes. So The Messy Truth, interesting show. Interesting show on CNN that I will say. Look up some of the clips from it. See what people are talking about. It's the most interesting discourse because it's actually having real people talking to each other with Rick Santorum and Anna Navarro, who's the she's a Republican that is not down for Trump. And she's been known for that for a while. She was on the show as well. And Bill Maher. Not Bill Maher. Michael Moore. I get them confused. They're two white people, but they're very different. They're different types of liberal white people. And I think I'm a little bit more okay with my... I'm definitely more okay with Michael Moore than Bill Maher.
I was about to say, no, you're not. I
think you mean that. Again, I'm confusing them. And that's why, you know, you have to know who the evil is.
Yes.
And say his name. Donald Trump.
Want to take a break?
I guess so. Hey guys, we're back.
She took my damn line. We took a break to order chicken wings.
All of them.
Yeah. So, throwback jam.
Throwback jam. Ah, it's Khalees. I don't know which one I want it to be.
Come on. You knew.
Well, I'm going to go with... Because I'm feeling like this. And I thought about how much of a boss I am. And so, it's...
Good.
I'm bossy.
First girl spinning on the track. I switched up the beat of the jump. That's right. I brought all the boys to the yard. And that's right. I'm the one who's tattooed on his arm.
Because I'm bossy. That is me right now.
Yeah.
I'm a boss right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm about to get on trains, planes, automobiles. About to be in the hotel, motel, and
Holiday Inn. Holiday Inn. I guess it's my episode to sing.
I'm going all over the place. So I feel real boss. And I thought about some boss things that I've done in like terms of my friendships. And so I was like, oh yeah, I am a boss. Yeah, I said, this is mine. you took this, so I'm going to take this. So...
Do I know about any of this?
Yeah, it's nothing new. It's like old, where I just like recognize. I just was recognizing my own game. You know, sometimes you don't recognize your game, and then you like you notice your game and you're like, shit.
I got it like that.
Like, you are so thorough. Like, you don't let anyone take shit. And it's like, you're good at this and you don't even notice. Yeah. And it's nice. It's just nice. So, if you a boss, you be a boss.
Fun fact.
Bossy ain't a bad word.
About that song, fun fact. Two of my friends and I, when we were younger, used to have theme songs for ourselves.
You have to have a theme song.
And that was my theme song.
It's a good theme song to have.
That was, like, that song would come on and, like, my two friends would point at me or, like, they would send it to me via MySpace because that's how old that song is.
No, I think that that is a song that was... the song that came on when you went to my MySpace page.
So, yeah. I think it was like when we were transitioning towards Facebook, but still most active on MySpace. What a time to be alive.
Oh my gosh.
So I also approve of that throwback jam.
It's a good one.
It's a great one. Yeah.
Where are you at, Khalees?
I don't know. Living in her lime green wedding dress.
And then flipping it to other female rappers. Nicki didn't get nominated for a Grammy.
I'm not surprised. I don't know. I don't know. Anyways, so I have a check it, a quiet check it. Not very quiet. I don't know why I said quiet. Maybe because I'm being quiet right now. But... as you guys know from the last episode, I've been talking about how I'm going to be jobless soon, and I've been working really hard on my website and, like, creating this community on Twitter. If you want to, like, talk to me or talk about it, you can use hashtag being, hashtag B-E-E-I-N-G. And I've just been talking about, like, things I've been thinking about the job hunt, about not looking for a job, and what that'll look like. And... I've been reading a lot of articles about time management when you're looking for jobs and don't have a job and things like that. Mm-hmm. That's really important, but I haven't seen anything about mental health when you're jobless and how looking for jobs can really take a toll on your self-esteem or how you feel about yourself, which then can affect your cover letters or your interviewing or what jobs you're even looking for, and you just start applying for anything because you're desperate and you're upset and you're scared or confused. And that's really, really important because you need to be in a good headspace before you decide what your next career move is or if the idea of what a quote career looks like is different for you or... you know, making sure that the next job you do accept when you do get through those interviews is a job you actually want in 6 months and you aren't sitting there suddenly like, I accepted this because I was stressed out and feeling sad and they offered me something and it wasn't what I deserve and the job description isn't what I'm actually doing, and which can happen. And does happen often. You often pick up more than what your job description says, but are you going to say something about it? Or are you going to be like, well, I was really desperate when I accepted this job, so I'm just going to, I don't know, take it on the chin. And that's, none of that is okay. So I've been writing a lot about that, and I'm really excited because for the first time ever in, like, my blogging history, I have, like, 5 posts queued up and, like, ready to go. And that's not something I'm really good at. I'm really good at, like, spur of the moment. I see inspiration or feel something and can just write about it. But really, I've been thinking about, like, you know, what am I going to do next? And, like, avoiding that question from other people because it can give me so much anxiety. But also, like, how I'm going to make sure in this time of, like, transition of whatever is going to happen that I'm okay, like, mentally. Like, I can do this. I'm not... and I've been telling people, like, I refuse to accept a job that I have any inkling that in half a year, I'm going to be miserable again. I did that. I just did that. I had to get out of one job. So I was just like, whatever comes my way, like, I need more money and I just need to get out. And I did that and I did a really good job despite anything and everything, and really made a name for myself and have been working to make sure other people know that. Working on possibly getting published. So like really taking it to the next level. But at the end of the day, like, I'll be broke if I love my job. Like, I'll be broke. That's mm-hmm. always been my mindset as an actor, as someone who loves working in communities and being a facilitator for change, or creating an environment where other people can facilitate something empowering for people. And I'm using these words because I've been writing like what I like to do and how I can find that in a job. So I'm just also like verbalizing those things that I love. I'll be broke if I can do any of those things. Mm-hmm. If I wake up and I might be stressed and overwhelmed because that's what arts and nonprofits and that kind of work is. But if I see a result and I love what I'm doing, I don't care. Mm-hmm. But if I'm unhappy, I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. So hopefully you guys talk to me and we can talk about it more. I'm really excited that I have posts queued up. I will be talking about it for at least the next 5 weeks, which is the longest I've talked about anything consistently. But really, we were talking about like when your back's against the wall. I'm really good because I procrastinate, and I've been like really realizing that I'm really good at making shit. I'm really good at creating community and creating content and helping people talk about stuff that they don't want to talk about. And maybe that'll be my job. That'll be what I do. And I will be so happy if I get to do this podcast with my best friend and blog and get people to talk about shit they don't want to talk about. If that's my job and I can make money off of that, then I will die happy.
I'm ridiculously happy that you're saying that, all of those things. Because I feel, as someone that's been with you for a while, I feel like a little bit like, oh, it's like the things that we've been talking about is like ruminating in like a strong way in you. Like that you're like at this point of like, let's make this happen for yourself. And it like when you were talking about you're knowing that you enjoy creating, facilitating a community. It's like you've recognized what your core value is and the thing that makes you happy and what your super skill is. And that's something that that's a part of being self-aware that a lot of people don't own or don't understand about themselves. And that's something that I've been like ruminating in. It's like, and because I've been interviewing.
Yeah.
And so you have to think about it in that way. But then it's not always about you saying the right answer for them, but it's you being able to speak your truth. And if they say no, it doesn't matter as long as you stick to what you believe in, what your core values in, and what's going to make your work life rewarding for you. And so it's like it's taking that time to really know thyself so you can go out there and then sell thyself. But it's not like selling it. It's just this is the truth of me. And if you want to work with this truth, let's do beautiful things. And if there's something that you don't like about it, you're clearly not who I need to be down with. Like, I've been thinking a lot about that because, like, I say a lot of political things on this podcast, and if someone looks me up, and as I'm doing this job search, and they see that I'm connected to this, if they have an issue with the stuff that's coming out of my mouth, I don't need to work with them. If you can't ride with the way that I see the world. And that is a huge, that's a huge step in your self-esteem as an individual.
Yeah.
That you're able to say that whatever money someone's trying to give me doesn't outweigh my self-worth and who I understand to be true for me. Too many people don't live in that way. Don't live in that space and don't take that ownership. And that's why companies can take advantage. Work situations can become toxic so quickly because you haven't created those strong barriers and have known what those barriers, what those lines in the sand are for you. And you're getting there. You know it. You're knowing that and you're articulating that. And so only good things can come when you have that understanding.
It's an exciting, strange time I'm living in. Mm-hmm. We're both living in like two separate but equal sides of the spectrum.
Yeah, because like I'm hearing what you're saying, and I'm going through a similar thought process, and like, and I wanted to share it with people too. Of like, I've been talking about my last 3 years of my work experience have been an education, and how I've taken that bit of a struggle in education of working in this space for 3 years. And I'm finally seeing that work. I'm getting a return. I'm finally seeing that return by new opportunities coming up. And like, and some of these opportunities are like me making one decision. There's like, I feel like there's two decisions I can take. It's like, do I want to sell more and learn more about how to be a salesperson and marketing in that way? Or do I want to become more of a consultant and really fall into that and learn what that business is? And that's like sort of what my experience has been for the past 3 years have been like the convergence of those two things. And consulting can mean so many different things in so many different ways. And like, which way do I want to pivot? And will I be happy or not happy in each of those ways? Yep. And I think everything has its trade-offs, and I think we all have to recognize what those trade-offs are going to be. And if you don't evaluate those, because it's never going to, like, your goal is for 100% satisfaction, but you have to recognize, like, every life is compromise. And you do have to figure out what are those things. Everything has to be prioritized. You have to prioritize what your core values. And then there's the core values and there's some other things that are like nice to have. So you have to recognize what is a nice to have. And that's hard too. That's like crazy. That's like, I feel like that's where the stickiest work happens.
Yep. It's all sticky, friends, and we're here to talk about it. I'm talking about it. But if you're looking for jobs, if you're trying to figure out what you're doing next, whether you're looking for jobs and you have a job, looking for jobs and you don't have a job, not looking, but you don't like your job, thinking about looking, whatever, it's all, as I always say, always goes back to your mental health and your self-esteem. Mm-hmm. So make sure you're in a good headspace and doing things that are keeping you okay while you do whatever it is you decide to do. So that's my check-in. Woo!
Yay.
Are we calling this episode a... Do you have anything else to add?
I mean, we have to giggle about something. We have to cackle about something. We have to giggle, roar cackle, about roar. Something. I mean, last time
I have a like, giggle.
What's your giggle?
So I've like, it's like two things. So I've been listening to the Heart and Hustle podcast, like love you talked him. About. Because I feel like I'm also in this space where I'm finally doing things that I've been saying that I wanted to do, but just mm-hmm. haven't, because that's the kind of person I am. And I've been calling myself out on that more, and it's really great to listen to them. And I'm in this space of thinking about doing my own thing, so it's really inspiring to hear that Granted, the cost of living in Florida is significantly cheaper than Philadelphia.
Girl, you have to move.
but it's really nice to listen to them. And also, we always talk about podcasts that we listen to. And I finally found one that was like, these are also my people. I found This Week in K-Pop. Which is two dudes that talk about...
Two dudes that talk about K-pop. Oh, my gosh.
That talk about the last, like, things that have happened the last 2 weeks in, like, K-pop. And they, like, pick their favorite song and they play songs. So it's, like, really cool because I could finally hear snippets of other people besides the groups that I already stan really fucking hardcore. And maybe listen to something other than BTS that I have been for the last 2 months on repeat nonstop, besides Solange and A Tribe Called Quest on occasion because I need help. But anyway, my giggle is that podcast because they're two really funny dudes. They're really awesome to listen to. And if I ever go to South Korea, I hope I get to be on the show with them because we would have a ball. And I'd podcast too. So like they can listen to me. And if I decide to pick up and move there in August, be on the lookout for me This Week in K-pop because...
You could be on it now. Let's have a Skype session for you. Like... This Week in K-pop, like, you can be on the show.
But I want to also be in South Korea.
Well, then you can be in South Korea, too. But, like, you can do it first once over Skype, and then live in the studio. Be
on This Week in K-pop. So, yeah, shout out to that podcast for making me giggle. I think the only other podcasts that have made me laugh as much are Another Round and The Read. So
here we go.
Here we are.
I'm drawing a blank on something to cackle about.
I mean, I can think of a cackle too.
Because I don't want to go back to Trump and cackle that's in my mind is so.
We don't want it.
Well, no. Okay. My cackle is about the Celebrity Apprentice that's coming out with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Tyra Banks.
Not Tyra.
Tyra Banks is going to be on it. Arnold Schwarzenegger is the, he's like the Donald for it. I think that Tyra Banks is going to be like the Ivanka.
Or
she's a contestant. I don't know. I'm not sure. But I don't see her being in a contestant because she runs an empire. So why does she need to be on that show, you know? Instead of her being a guru makes sense.
She is an empire.
Yeah, she's an empire. So, but then like Snooki's gonna be on it. God. And a bunch of other folks. But what's really funny is that everyone that's on that show, which Donald Trump owns that show, they don't want to talk about Donald Trump.
That's not how that works. That's not how that works. Is his name on the check you're about to get from that show? That's not how that works. Sorry. Sorry, Hunty.
Wow, so.
Yeah. No.
But that's going to be coming to your television screen.
My television screen, personally, never. But,
Maybe he doesn't own any of it. He hosted it for a while. So, but they don't want to talk about the affiliation. It was 7 years of, it's like 7 seasons of The Celebrity Apprentice hosted by Donald Trump. Ugh. So it's like...
Good luck.
Like, it's hard to get... Like, that is the reason why we have him. Like, that's... It's like that and Home Alone, too. Lost in New York. Like...
And The Simpsons.
And, like, Billy Bush bringing him on Access Hollywood. Like, that's the reason why he got to be around.
Thanks a lot, guys.
But I still think it's fine to think that they can do the show again and not be connected. Talk about to him. That. Like, you guys are stupid. And, like, I feel bad for all of y'all because I feel like you're going to lose money. Portia Williams from Real Housewife of Atlanta fame, right? Is that who she is?
Portia? Yeah. Okay. From Real Housewives?
Yeah, like, that's what she looks like. She's going to be on it. Snooki, Brooke Burke, Ricky Williams. And I don't know who Patrick Knapp Schwarzenegger. I guess that's like a, that's like his son or a brother or I don't know. Anyways, I think it's silly. Carrie Keegan. Anyways, that's my cackle.
Great.
I'm sorry, no one's gonna watch. I mean, you guys will be connected to the alt-right. I'm sorry, because they're going to watch your show. They're going to stand for your show. I'm sorry, Tyra, jump ship. I'm hope get your checks from the new America's Next Top Model that will be coming back
with Rita Ora as the host. She ain't never modeled a day in her.
I love that show, and so I'm like, oh, it's coming back. I mean, I'm not going to see it because I don't have VH1. I'm not going to go spend money on cable for it. But I think it's cute that it's coming back. Whatever. Make your checks. Make those are fine checks for Tyra Banks and Ken Monk to get. None. Not this.
Ugh.
Who's doing good things?
I am.
I don't know. Well, let's just roar for us, because this is our 26th episode. Like, we've been rocking the game, and we might not have another episode of 2016. So, like, just in case.
Wait, we have to have a Christmas special.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
come on.
Well, we'll figure this out offline when you're going to be around. Aren't you going to go home?
Yeah, I don't know how long, though.
Okay, well, this might be the last one, so how about we just give ourselves a hand clap right now so there's nothing else to roar about right now. Let's roar for ourselves.
Try and get clap away from the mic.
And we're going to have a dope 2017. And, like, we're going through a bunch of crazy changes, but something that's great is that we're both still very committed to this show. And so we're going to be figuring shit out.
Yeah. We're committed to the show and our friendship, and the show helps our friendship, and our friendship helps the show, so.
Hey! So, get ready. It might, like, I feel like we've been kind of, like, morphing in a fun little way, and then we'll continue to morph.
Yeah.
You'll see how it goes.
A lot of people have been telling us that they kind of like the free form more than, like,
than having, like, the real, like, be able, yeah, so we're a little more jelly. We'll
yeah,
be
we're jelly. Both actors, so we do really well off the cuff. I think we do better off the cuff, honestly.
It's the mixture. I've been enjoying the last couple episodes, and I've been prepping a lot less. It's sort of like, what's been going on in my life? Let me think about those things and ruminate on those things before I go into here.
Yeah.
So
all I do is think.
Yeah, so it's like instead of like writing it down on a piece of paper, it just sort of happens.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All right, guys. Well, you can find us on the internet, on Twitter and Instagram at BLK Girls Laughing with no G at Black Girls Laughing. We've been really stepping up our game on Instagram. Twitter, we've been falling off, but that will be fixed.
Yeah, the Instagram has been fire.
Yes.
We need to get back on Facebook, too. I'm going to help. I'm going to try. I am putting it on me to do some more things.
Yes.
I've been trying to get some interviews for us in the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
That's like, I'm trying to, we're going to be, I have so many ideas. Y'all, would you be interested in a sideshow? Not like a full show, but like a mailbag Friday type of thing where we answer some of your questions or you get to have your voice on the show. Like a 15-minute John that you get an extra little snippet of us.
I'm into it.
Where we will answer your questions.
I'm into it.
So, like, please tweet at us about that. If you want that to happen, if you see us on Instagram, leave us a comment. make a picture asking that question.
Yeah.
Like, we'll make a
Let us know you're real.
Yeah, like, because, like, I'm thinking about doing, I, like, it came to my mind, I was listening to another podcast, I'm like, they do this, and I like my advice more. So, like, what if we had, like, just, and, like, we made it a little.
Woo!
Oh, you spilled it.
Sorry, some booze went tumbling, guys.
What if we did that? So that's sort of like, let's put that in the ether.
Yeah. But, you know, in the next couple of weeks, you guys will be seeing some changes to the website. Because I've got my design hat on and have been working on my own a lot.
Your website looks so good.
Thank you.
Go to, I mean, I don't know. It's like,
don't be telling everyone my name. Yeah. I mean, you can find it if you follow me on social media. but I just don't want, like, everyone in the world to be
I've been majorly conscious of that. Like, I am just this here.
I mean, if people want to dig, they can find me.
It's easy.
But it requires them to dig.
Yeah.
Which requires them to do to things like, or like follow me and me to allow them to follow me. So yeah, you'll be seeing changes to that. Really fun things in the works, but we are telling you where we are on the internet, Instagram, Twitter at BLK Girls Laughing with no G, on Facebook, facebook.com/blackgirlslaughing. Our website, blackgirlslaughing.com, and you can email us blackgirlslaughing@gmail.com.
Yeah. See you soon.
Bye, guys.
Come on.